Quite so quickly. I think we need a DJ that sort of like goes, you know, fades. I got a couple announcements. No. Nothing changes. I just did it just because you're back from holiday. No. So Millie's on this week for devotions. Yeah, Millie. then a week break for devotions. But no, Paula was right. All ministries otherwise are on term break. We have also keep 8th of November. This wasn't an announcement, so Paula didn't miss anything. 8th of November free in your diary. We're doing a progressive dinner at different houses because we're fundraising for our missions for the Philippines in April. So keep that, save the date in your diary on the 8th of November. More details will come. Sky will let you know all about that. And we have a birthday in the house, Cole. Happy birthday, Cole. He's tried to deny it on many, many occasions. But we all have Facebook, so we could, even though it's not on there, but we could go back to last year and try and figure it out. And then he also has a girlfriend and his parents here, so, and brother, so we're all able to figure out it's your birthday today. So happy birthday, Cole. Is anyone else celebrating a birthday? Rebecca, tomorrow. Rebecca is tomorrow. Shane's tomorrow. Tomorrow, both of you share the same birthday. Happy birthday, everybody. I'm not going to sing for you because you don't want me to, but happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I hope you guys have a fantastic day. And everybody else who is celebrating a birthday this week in September, I think I don't know if we've sung to the people in September. Yes, we did. We did sing to the people in September. So happy birthday, but happy birthday. I think that's all the announcements. I think I've reminded everybody of everything. And we have lunch, so please stay back even if you didn't bring anything because we love doing lunch with everybody. I've just closed my iPad. This message has been on my heart to speak. So we all know we've been doing transformation beyond ourselves, or transformation beyond self. Transformation happens within us when Jesus Christ touches our lives. Hopefully it happens within us when Jesus Christ touches our lives. And when that happens within us, it's for the benefit of others, for the benefit of partnering with God to grow his kingdom. And last week we spoke about the question that heals. And we looked at, do you want to get well? And when you step out and say yes, there's actually hurt in the healing. Because we spoke about the lame man and how Jesus comes in and says, do you want to get well? And when he says that one question, it means that everything in his life is going to change. It means that he can't beg anymore. It means he can't receive money that way anymore. It means he's going to have to go out and need people, be dependent on people, go and find a job, go and get educated, do all of these certain things. But it wasn't just that. It was the fact that Jesus goes, He goes into this pool and he goes, okay, I'm going to heal this lame man here, a blind man at another pool. And he goes, I'm going to abolish a 1,000-year curse. And the thing that we dived into, and I hope that you got to see, was that he's so intentional in everything that he does. He's so intentional. And I don't think any one of us missed this week where we saw what was a memorial for one person, where we saw over 100,000 people gather in one place and then people all over the world looking at people worshipping. To Gratitude was one of the songs that we sung this morning. But then someone who witnessed their husband murdered, forgive the murderer in front of the entire world. And I thought, we speak, what is forgiveness? And it stuck with me so much that I went researching on forgiveness, because every message that we speak or every message that we hear, there's always probably like 10 things we list. If you're broken, if you're going through depression, if you're going through anxiety, if you've got past hurts, if you're dealing with unforgiveness, there's always that in there. If you need to forgive yourself, if you need to forgive others. But we've never really dived into what does it look like to stay in this place of unforgiveness? What does Jesus, we know what Jesus says about it. We know what God says about it, right? We know he says, you need to forgive, otherwise I don't forgive you, right? We know overall. So we go, we need to forgive, otherwise, Jesus doesn't forgive us. We don't get forgiven. But it's not the case of we need to be feared into forgiving. That's not what we're called as people to do. We're not called as people to be feared into forgiving, right? And so I don't know about you, I don't know about me, but I don't want to be somebody that goes, I'm going to forgive somebody, or I'm going to forgive my past, or I'm going to forgive something that happens, because otherwise I won't be forgiven. So I don't really acknowledge my hurt, I don't really acknowledge what happens, I don't really acknowledge the wounds, I don't really acknowledge the person. I just really want to be forgiven, therefore I forgive, because we don't actually deal with the wound. We're just going, I want to forgive, so I'm forgiven. And Jesus was so intentional in things that he did. And each one of us, the depths and differences in our forgiveness is so different to each one of us. So the question that lives in all of us, how many times should I forgive? Peter asks, 7 times? Because that sounds, you know, about average. But no, Jesus says, not 7, but 77 times. But what if I can't? It's a little bit of a deep topic because it's very, very quiet in here right now. But thank you, Father. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you that if there's strongholds this morning that need to be broken, if there's anything that you need to speak to people about here this morning, Father, I pray, God, that you speak, that your voice is louder, that not our voice, Father, your voice, God, that your truth speaks, your word speaks, and that you meet everyone here this morning, Father. Thank you, Lord. So when Peter goes, how many times? 7 times? It sounds like there's a boundary, right? On the 8th time, I'm going to say that's too much, right? And maybe some of us asking the same question. How many times do I let someone hurt me before I walk away? How long do I keep forgiving someone who doesn't seem to want to change? Is there a limit or a depth to my hurt that's unforgivable, Lord? But Jesus doesn't give a boundary, he gives a story. So we're going to read Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had been sold to repay the debt, to be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay everything back. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I'll pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I cancelled all of that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Now let's look at these two debts for a second in today's day. So the servant owes the king 10,000 bags of gold, which was talents. So it's roughly 60 million days of wages. So in today's day, if we look at around average minimum wage, $200 per day, it's $12 billion. That's how much he owed. He was forgiven everything. The same man goes out to find this one who owes him 100 denarii, which was 100 coins of silver, 100 days' wages, which equaled $20,000. Much more comprehensible amount of money, which you could probably waive that debt over $12 billion. This servant uses the exact same words, but he doesn't get excused, gets choked and then thrown into jail. What Jesus forgives us with, completely incomprehensible. We can't comprehend what we've been forgiven, right? We all know this. What we then don't excuse the next person, we can actually comprehend. Each of us can comprehend what we don't excuse the next person. But what we've been excused from, what we've been excused is incomprehensible, right? The 12 million to the 20,000. We have a scale in a minute we'll put up, not just yet. So each of our wounds are inflicted in such different ways. So I've written a couple down. So having two girls, watching them come home from school, different occasions, different things said about them. People have talked about them, said, called them different things, said different things, them coming home crying, me having to remember I'm a Christian, then having to remember I'm a pastor. Before I'm Italian or Sicilian, that tried to come out quite a few times, especially when I saw the kids, when I went to the school. I did have to, it's a true story, I do have to remember, Lisa, you're a Christian, Lisa, you're a pastor. I have to remind myself of that because you're a mum, right? And your kids are crying, but they're wounds that still affect them to this day, right? They're wounds that they still have to go through. Then I was on Facebook the other day and on one of the community pages, because I'm all the community pages because of our table dinners and I posted everywhere, there was this one mum and my heart broke for her. She was talking about this, her pre-primary kid, her little son, came home and he was crying because one of his friends openly, I don't know who was on the community page might have seen this, but openly handed out invitations and he didn't get one. This is his friend, right? And she goes, I went to the teacher and I said, is this right? Because it might have been a mistake. And the teacher said, no, that's right. He didn't get one. This is his friend. So he came home and he was crying and he said, I'm going to make my own birthday cards and I'm going to invite all of my friends. And she's reaching out going, basically, I don't know what to do. Has any mum been in this situation, right? There are things that they're small things, but they're things that affect. They're things that wound, right? Then Elton's not here. He's unwell this morning. But, and I'm not going to go too deeply into his wounds, but his one core memory, he has had an abusive father. And his one core memory of coming to Australia when they moved into their house is he had sand everywhere in the house and his mum grabbing him and his brother and escaping the house with his dad chasing him down a street we pass almost every day still, right? I'm not going to go into my history, but I used to be a lead singer in a band in year five. You wouldn't believe this, but I couldn't get up and speak because I was too nervous, but I could sing with this band and all the classrooms would come together and watch us sing. And I had this stuff go down in my house this one particular morning and I got to school late. And so I missed rehearsal. And I was trying to tell them, this is what happened with my parents. And they told me they were sick of hearing about my parents, sick of hearing about my problems, and they dumped me from the band, right? And I could have been famous. And I was so crushed. I was so crushed, right? You could be sitting here and you go, you know what? I was abused by somebody that I should have felt safe with. I was betrayed by somebody in my marriage or a close friend. Every one of us have wounds that are at different depths that mean something different to us. Like we saw this widow whose husband, regardless of what anyone may think, her husband was murdered in front of her children. She'd only been married for 4 years. Then she stands up and repeats the words, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do." Each one of us has a different wound level. And how do we forgive? Should we always forgive? When is it redemptive? When is it enabling? When is it complicity? When? How many times can someone keep coming back doing the same thing? And we just enable that same thing to happen and we go, enough is enough. The teachers back in the day allowed 3 times. The rabbis and stuff said 3 times was enough. That's how they taught. 3 times was enough for forgiveness. By the 4th, you're out. 3 strikes, you're out. And Peter comes in and he goes, how about 7? Because 8, you know, 8's too much. And Jesus comes in and he goes, no, 7. I mean, New King James says 70 times 7. So when I was first a Christian, when I was a teenager, I was like, hey, 490, I'll start keeping score. Right? And then when you look, because they change it in the different translations, but 7 has got nothing to do with the number. 7, as in the actual numeric number, is to do with the fact that 7 is completion. It's infinity. It's just, you can't exhaust his forgiveness. You can't. It's infinity. You just can't exhaust it, right? But it goes deeper than that. Because in this current world, when we see so much violence, when we see so much sex abuse, when we see so much sex trafficking, when we see so much war, when we see so much I'm offended, when we see so much cancel culture, whatever that's called, when we see, sorry, you know, we can tell my age when I'm up here. When you see all of this that's going on in the world, and we don't know how to deal with it, and we stand on one side and we stand on another side and we go, okay, what part of the Bible agrees with what I'm saying? What part of the Bible agrees with what I'm thinking? We can make the Word of God agree with anything we want it to say as long as it suits what I want it to say, rather than going in and going, God, what do you want me to believe? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to do it? We can become false peacemakers rather than actual peacemakers, where we go in and become people pleasers, where we go, as long as I sort of comply with the world, so I sort of look like I'm a little bit woke over here, so I don't look like I'm not going all the way over here, so people don't cancel me out, and I sort of feel like I'm fitting in here, so people actually listen to me, but I'm not going to go over this way because people might think I'm a bit of a nut job. Whatever. We all saw that Jesus might have been coming last week. We all saw it all over our social media, right? We all saw it. We don't all talk about it, but we all saw it. But we don't really want to talk about it because we sort of want to be on this side of the fence, but we sort of want to be on this side of the fence, and then we'll go and read the word and we go, okay, what will suit what I feel, and this is where I'm going to stick to. But God's word is God's word. What is he actually saying to us? We're meant to be one body that is unified. This is what he says to us. We are real peacemakers, not false peacemakers. And we're real peacemakers with building his kingdom, because Jesus says his truth is his truth. And he tells us we need to forgive on all accounts. He says in every account, in everything that is happening, in everything. It's not with one side to one side, or we're defending one land over one person. It's not about that. What is he saying to us? So in those days, revenge culture was what it was. If you were to try and create peace, it was almost weakness. So it was revenge culture back in that day. It was who was the strongest, and it was purpose, right? So we're going to go back there in Genesis 4. So we saw Cain killed Abel because of jealousy. So that's where we're at, right? He's killed him already. So the Lord said, and I love how the fact that the Lord's actually speaking to them. And I think we can read over this and just miss that. But the Lord's speaking to them, to him at this point. The Lord said, "What have you done?" He's speaking to Cain. "Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so." See, he's done this, and the Lord still says, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him, not because Cain deserved it, but because God's forgiveness is so limitless, so limitless. There's no exhausting his forgiveness, no exhausting his forgiveness. Forgiveness always outweighs what we do. So then Cain goes and settles his family, builds the city, but the city is full of violence, right? And then he has this descendant called Lamech. Now, Lamech gets wounded by somebody. So there's different people that say, oh, it's like a, in today's day, it's like, oh, he hit him or he bit him or something like that, right? So it's just wounding. But it's not to the point of what jealousy can drive you to. So they're trying to say it's not even to the point of where Cain was. This is like a wound. Then it's also said that the way Lamech wrote this next passage was the first song sung, the way it was written. So it was like a poem sung. He was boasting. So Genesis 4:23, Lamech says, I'm not going to sing it to you, but just pretend it's like a song. Lamech said to his wives, "Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me." I'm trying to do like musical theatre. "A young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times." So Lamech multiplies vengeance. This is where our revengeful nature begins. All the way back in Genesis. So we have this nature. So where we saw last week, where Jesus comes in, it actually gets me very emotional because when we read it, I don't know if we grasp how loving and kind Jesus is, that he goes, "I want to abolish these things in your world. I want to take this stuff from you. This is the nature of what you carry, but this is not how you need to live anymore, because this is what I'm taking away from you. You don't need to live like this anymore." So he goes, you know what? Lamech multiplied revenge by 77 times. I'm going to multiply forgiveness by infinity. I'm going to abolish that. You don't have to worry about that. So that's there in us. But when we actually see what Jesus comes in to do, everything we're holding on to, everything that we can't let go of, it doesn't have to be there. We don't have to live with that. This is what he says to us. Not revenge without end, but forgiveness without end. This is what he says to us. Not revenge without end, but forgiveness without end. Jesus breaks this generational curse the same as he did last week when we spoke about it from 1,000 years. You don't have to live like that anymore. But he says, will you be that same agent of forgiveness that I've given to you? That $12 billion to the $20,000, will you be that same agent that doesn't keep score of the 490 tick, 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 tick? I'm up to 120. How many more times? when we go, you know what, I'm not keeping score anymore. I'm not trying to fight for my own vindication. I'm not trying to fight for my own fairness. That's when we're free. That's when we live in the goodness of who Jesus is. Jesus is saying we are all in need of this level of forgiveness that none of us can repay back. None of us can repay back. Revenge is so embedded in us because of Genesis 4. It's so embedded in us from there, and Jesus goes all the way back in to undo everything that was. Goes all the way back in. But he says forgiveness must be so deeply rooted in you that that overrides everything that was in you, everything that was planted all the way back then. So he just doesn't come in with this number of, oh, 70 times 7 or 77 or it's infinity because 7's completion. It's so strategic. It's so intentional to go back from all the way back then to come all the way here. But there's different depths. There's different depths. It would take a different level of depth and forgiveness for me for getting kicked out of that band than it would for Elton with his father. Different level. Different level. And you might have been taken advantage of in your life. You might have been betrayed by someone you love, the person you trusted, looked up to, married, a parent, and everything in between. And forgiveness isn't cheap. Forgiveness isn't weakness. Forgiveness is strength. It's not the other way around. And sometimes we can look at it like, if I forgive, then I've belittled the pain. But it's actually the other way around. It's not tolerating abuse. It's not pretending nothing happened. And it's not letting people walk all over you. It's costly. It hurts. It's cross-shaped. That's what it is. It's actually picking up your cross. But it's the way of Jesus. It's the way of freedom. And it's the only way to stop bitterness from being what's ruling your life. And if you haven't let it go, that's what's ruling your life. Or eventually will rule your life if it's not now. So on the Sermon on the Mount, which we're going to start unpacking from next week, he actually teaches us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is something we are continuously praying, because there's always something that we need forgiveness for, and there's always something that we need to forgive. And there's a lot of us that need to forgive ourselves for a lot of things that we've done too. Sometimes we might be easy enough to go, you know what, I forgive that person, but I don't really forgive myself. There's always that as well. So when we are owed and it's not fair, it's not through anger, it's not through retaliation, it's not through the scales aren't even because it's black and white, it's cancelling debts of others by freely choosing grace, because that's what we were given. And it's bringing it to him. So when we look at Psalms, about 35 to 40% of Psalms are lament. And sometimes when we read Psalms, I don't know about you, but when I read Psalms, I go, gee, that's really harsh. Like, sometimes how David speaks, that's really harsh, right? So I got some here. Break the teeth in their mouths, O God. Words of hatred surround me. How long, O Lord? Arrogant foes are attacking me. But our hearts and our cries and our everything that we're feeling, they belong to him. When we don't bring them to him, we bring them to others and we spill out on others. We all hear the hurt people, hurt people. It sounds like such cliche, oh, hurt people, hurt people. That's the truth though. And if we don't bring them to the foot of Jesus, we hurt people because it spills out on people. When these wounds aren't dealt with, and Psalms is showing us how to do that. Psalms isn't just for us to read. Psalms is showing us we can come with our most ugly and we bring it to his feet. We can sound ugly, bring it to his feet. We can sound horrible, bring it to his feet. We can sound mean, bring it to his feet. Because if we don't, that meanness is going to come out on other people. That ugly is going to come out on other people. That anger is going to come out on other people. And then we're going to wonder why we have discord in the church. We're going to wonder why we have disunity in the church. We're going to wonder why we're not getting along. Well, did you bring it to Jesus? Were you ugly to Jesus? were you mean to Jesus? Did you bring it to him? A while ago, when I went through my own whole forgiveness moments, I wrote every single person, every single thing, whether it was little or big, person and thing down, and crossed each one out as I gave it to the Lord. And there was a lot. As I'm assuming each one of you would have if you did yours. Because every single one of us, from birth to however old you are, young or old, you would have them. And you cross them off. It's just a suggestion if you wanted to do it. It's something I did. Wrote it. It could be tiny, but wrote it, gave it to God, crossed it off. It doesn't mean things don't trigger those things, but I know I gave it to God. The enemy will try and come in and go, did you really forgive that? Yes, I did. You have to remember what you did ask for forgiveness and give forgiveness to. Otherwise, it will trap you again. But when you give forgiveness to it, know that you released it and know that there can be a trap to try and get you back again. But if something triggers you, go, I did release it. If you didn't, know that you didn't. If something's coming up with even while we're speaking now, God's trying to release it from you, know that you need to deal with it. Don't just suppress it. Because sometimes we can just easily and freely give forgiveness as well, and we don't actually deal with what's going on. We need to deal with what's going on. We can't just cheapen forgiveness either. We need to actually acknowledge what the hurt was, acknowledge whether it's a person or whatever it was. We actually need to acknowledge it, because acknowledging it brings out the hurt and releases it to God. Just saying I forgive in just the air because we need to forgive and I want to be forgiven, that's not real forgiveness either. We can't cheapen what God says forgiveness is. We need to, it says from the heart. It says from the heart, forgiveness from the heart. So if it is something you want to do, write it down. What is it? Give it to God, cross it off. It's done. It's just something between you and God. And then I ripped the book up, burnt it up, whatever I did with it, can't remember. But I got rid of it because it was something that I did and I did between me and God. It was something that I personally needed to do to acknowledge different things in my life. We all need to acknowledge those different things in our lives. Otherwise, we walk around wounded and we walk around sometimes expectant, entitled, thinking we're victims, and we're not. We're here as vessels of God to build the kingdom. Hurts happen, we acknowledge them, and then we go forward. We pick up our cross and we go forward. That's what we do. So I wanted to acknowledge this one particular girl. You might have heard this story, but there's a particular story of, it comes from Corrie ten Boom. It was a Dutch Christian. Some of you may have heard this girl's forgiveness story. So along with her father and her sister Betsy, came to the aid of many Jews trying to escape the Nazis during World War II. Corrie and her sister were arrested and sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp. They were brutalized. Anyway, her sister died at the hands of this horrible time. All right, so this is her story. This is what she says. And that's when I saw him working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visored cap. With its skull and crossbones, it came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights. The pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor. The shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me. Ribs sharp beneath and parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fruhlin. I don't know if I say that right. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remember him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbruck in your talk, he's saying. I was a guard there. No, you didn't. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear from your lips as well. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? As I stood there, I chose those sins, had every day to be forgiven and could not. I tried every day for those sins to be forgiven and could not. Betsy had died in that place. I could not erase her slow, terrible death simply for asking. It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours. I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do, for I had to do it, and I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who had injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it not only as a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple as a horrible and as horrible as that, and still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion, and I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so, woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. As I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprung into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears into my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. I'm sure that forgiveness didn't equal the score. I'm sure she didn't feel like now we're even. I'm sure she didn't feel like it's okay now. But she forgave. God enabled her to give with her heart. Forgiveness doesn't guarantee reconciliation, but unforgiveness definitely guarantees division. You don't have to reconcile, but inside yourself, you need that freedom. Otherwise, there's division in you, and there's captive in you, there's bondage in you, there's a stronghold in you. And when Jesus says, I can't forgive you, I don't think he puts conditions on his love for you. But he goes, if you want to live in the fullness of everything that I have for you, then you pick up the cross like I've done for you, and you extend the same forgiveness that I've given to you. So we've got that scale. I think we've got that scale up here. Do we have that picture? That's the picture. When you look at that servant, what he didn't forgive to what he was forgiven. When we look at our lives, from what we're forgiven to what we don't forgive. I'm not belittling our pain or what anyone's been through, but from what Jesus is saying, what he's given us and what he's done for us, because the example of what he did for us was he was beaten. He was humiliated. He went through that exact thing for us. And he goes, that was for you. But you struggled to give that for him. That's the scale. When we are completely transformed and our heart is transformed, we become agents of that same forgiveness and that same transformation to other people. So each wound is a different type of injustice. Each wound. Each one of us has accrued a different debt to people and unto us. There's no one size fits all, so I'm not even going to sit here and try and say you all need to do it the same way. But if you're struggling, God help me to want to forgive whatever it is, whatever is coming to your mind. To cancel any debt, big, small, simple, complex, fast, slow, requires the act of suffering, cross-bearing, picking up your cross. It's going to cost us something. It costs Jesus something. It's going to cost us something. It's going to hurt. Just like getting well is going to hurt, this is a part of getting well. It's an extension from last week. Do you want to get well? Do you really? Because there's freedom on the other end of it. To forgive, it's going to cost us something. To forgive, it's going to cost us suffering. To forgive, it's going to hurt. But there's freedom on the other end of it. So there's three things that I saw through all the research of all of this. Three things that are destructive, that it hardens our hearts to forgiveness. Competition, independence, and retribution or justice. The three things that oppose that for us. Humility, accountability, and mercy. So humility. Humans are designed for community. So our vulnerability, humility takes place when we're vulnerable and dependent on God. Humility creates and advances community. When we realize and we become vulnerable before God, this advances community. When we're not screaming for our independence. Accountability. This overcomes independence. When we're knowing we're accountable to each other, when we need each other, and when we're needed, when we're there for other people to need. So we're both. Accountability to each other. Not preoccupied with our own advancement of the kingdom, but for each other and for the purpose of God for each other. And mercy. When we stop focusing on what other people have done to us and we focus on what Jesus has done for us. A true heart of forgiveness is not a tolerant attitude towards one another. It's a personal loving connection between one another. It takes our heart. The whole thing takes our heart. We don't tolerate one another. The whole thing takes our heart. So we're going to do communion now. Not going to get the band up specifically, so the band can actually be involved in this particular part. But this table represents Jesus' forgiveness. This is the reason why we're doing communion this morning. This was given to us before we were even aware we needed it. So when we come to this table, we're coming to this table knowing we've been forgiven. We're coming to this table with the idea that we want to be the same agents of the same grace, of the same forgiveness, not this scorekeeping person that is ticking off to 490. Counts, but we want to be the same, what we've been talking about, disciples of Jesus, getting covered with the dust from his sandals. So we want to be the same agent of his forgiveness to everybody that's around us, from people from our past, our history, whatever that may be. But we want to be that same. Forgiveness allows that space in our hearts to make room. This is the way Jesus made room for us from the cross. The cross made room for us. When we extend forgiveness, it makes room for that person to be restored. Again, it doesn't have to mean that it's reconciliation for everyone. But it does open that space up for that person to be reconciled because you've made that space in you. Doesn't mean relationship. And sometimes we can close that off because we think it's relationship. It doesn't mean it's belittled your pain. It actually means strength in your pain. That's what it means. So this morning, this table means that. It means the forgiveness. It means the reconciliation. So we're going to play a song, Psalm 37, the song is, and it talks about his righteousness is our righteousness. It talks about resting in him. It talks about, because in him, when we bring it to him, like the Psalms teaches us to, in him we give up our right to fight for our own vindication. We give up our right to fight for our own justice. We give up our right to fight for all of that, to fight for the fairness, to fight for the black and white, to fight for that, because he fights for that for us. It says that. It says that. He fights that for us. All we need to do is give it over to him. And we need to pick up our cross. What do you want me to do today, Jesus? Who do you want me to forgive today, Jesus? What is it that's blocking me, Jesus? Do you want me to write it down? How do you want me to do it? It's between you and him. So I'll get everybody up just to come. Each side can come and grab their communion.
Desires of your heart, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do it. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness.
Keep this on, Masiani,
and just for a couple of minutes. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your right. Justice has the noonday.
as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take it, take, eat, this is my body. Let's eat together." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let's drink together. I'm going to get you all to stand. I'm going to hit the band up if I can, please. Spiritual maturity is running to God's forgiveness more and more and more. We never get to a point where we go, "I've done that." We run to Him faster. We try to get to Him quicker. And we want to know Him more. We never want to be people that are so familiar with who He is, with familiar with His grace, familiar with His forgiveness, familiar with what this means, familiar with picking up our cross, familiar with what the cross means, getting caught up in what's going on in the world rather than what He's called us to do and who He's called us to be for one another, and continuously running to Him, continuously bringing it all to Him. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you've got stuff going on the inside of you, bring it to the foot of the cross, bring it to the feet of Jesus, bring it to Him. Bring your ugly, bring your meanness. I'm not saying you guys are mean, just bring your ugly. I bring my ugly all the time, all the time. I'm crying all the time, it's ugly. This guy told me I'm an ugly cry a long time ago. I've never let that go. I bring my ugly all the time. But there's things that come out of us that we go, "Where did that even come from?" Because we get hurt. We get hurt all the time. People hurt us and they don't even know that they've hurt us. Some people, it's intentional. Some people, it's not. Either way, it sticks. Things that could have been said to the girls, they stick. Things that could have been said to you, they stick. It doesn't mean to stick, but it hurts, right? So you got to bring your ugly. Because if you don't, that ugly is going to pour out on somebody else. And you might not even know it. And then that person doesn't bring their ugly, and then they bring it to somebody else, and they don't even know it. Before you know it, everyone's ugly to each other. You don't even know it. So let's just pray. My prayer this morning is that if you're not at the point where you go, "I can forgive," that you're at the point where you go, "I want to forgive." Or even at the point of the acknowledgement of, "I need to forgive, so Lord, help me want to forgive." So all the people, Father, that you see their hearts, God, and they're going, you know, Father, that they need forgiveness. We all, Father, well, we all can't even measure the forgiveness that you've given us, Lord. But may we be carriers and agents of that same forgiveness and grace unto others, God. And for those of us that are going, "You know what, I don't know how or how many times, Lord, or the hurt that I'm carrying, God," may you teach us to want to. May you help us to want to. May you show us how to want to. And may you bring us to that point of doing it, Father. May you bring us to that point of wholeheartedness, forgiveness, Father. That we can bring our ugly to you. We can bring our mean to you. We can bring our anger to you. We can bring our most horrible words to you, Father. That you can handle it, God. And that you can bring us to the point of saying, I forgive that person. I forgive that wrong. I forgive that hurt. I forgive that wound. I forgive myself. Bring us to that point, Jesus, where we can understand what forgiveness means. And may forgiveness be so deep-rooted in us that it overrides that revenge that was so embedded in us from all those years ago. May that not even come up. May that be cancelled out, because that's what you came to do, because you're so loving and you're so kind. So I pray, Jesus, right now, Father, that you come in just the way you came in to abolish all of that revenge, and you say, I want you to know that it's forgiveness to no end and not revenge to no end. May we be people that carry forgiveness to no end, and all of those strongholds that are holding us bound, may we call out forgiveness to no end over all of those situations now, in the name of Jesus. If you need prayer for something to do with that, you need to release it at the altar this morning. There's a space carved out right here in front of the stage. If you go, you don't have to, because we did that in communion. But if you go, you know what? I just want to bring it to the altar. I want to go on my knees, or I just want to confess it to you. Or I just want to bring it down to the front and I want to lay it down at the altar like I'm laying it down at his feet. If you want to do that action this morning, you can do that. We will offer prayer for you. You don't even have to have it. If you want to just come and lay it at the altar, you can do that. And let's worship together. Amen.